I'm not going to ask the registrar, Royston Pillay, to speak on governance. I'm sure many of you are concerned also about exams for 2020 and also thinking about 2021 admissions. And Royston has been working on all these issues together with colleagues in admissions committee and many other structures. Over to you, Royston.
Thank you, Vice Chancellor. In these unprecedented times, to which reference has been made before, where we have not before had to deal with such a set of multiple complexities, all converging in the way that they have, we certainly remain alive to the obligation to align our decisions taken with the prescribed governance requirements. Of particular relevance in this regard are the statutory governance structures. And it has been the case that over the past few weeks, in working through the adjustments that have to be made to the core business operations of the university, particularly in regard to emergency remote teaching and the adjustments to the university calendar, these decisions have been taken through a process of engagement with the Dean's Advisory Committees in the faculties, working with groups of faculty board members at both the undergraduate and the postgraduate level, and the Senate Executive Committee, which is empowered to act for the Senate in emergency circumstances. And our circumstances are indeed emergency circumstances. In addition, the statutory bodies, including the University Senate, the Institutional Forum, and the University Council, the latter being the apex structure in governance terms, have each had formal meetings to consider matters relating to the university's response to COVID-19. We are, of course, aware of the additional high-level urgent decisions that need to be considered. For example, the terms of the fee policy in the present context, but any announcement in that regard has to follow a council process, and this is in joint attention at this point in time. Some questions that have already come through relate to this very point. For example, the dropping of courses at undergrad level or the extension of submission deadlines at master's and doctoral level with related fee rebate adjustments. These issues are under considerations. With regard to exams in 2020, exams have been scheduled based on the revised 2020 calendar. And it is important to stress the point that the calendar that has been revised and has been made available has been developed based on the best information available at the time when it was developed. And of course, we accept that we are in fluid times. But there is a revised calendar for 2020. It has gone through the appropriate structures and it enjoys the status of being Senate approved. In this calendar, in semester one, exams will be largely online with the option of capstone assessments. And in semester two, in the November-December period, we envisage invigilated exams in the main and some deviation from that. We know that there's concern around the social distancing requirements, particularly in the case of invigilated exams. And because of the model that we have developed, we are pretty confident that the reduced number of invigilated exams will certainly aid the social distancing requirements, particularly in our large venues. We don't have any major concerns about numbers in our ranked venues, precisely because we have many such ranked venues, lecture theatres. We are concerned about the social distancing requirements in our large venues, essentially the Sports Centre and Sarah Bartman, but we think that the reduced number of invigilated exams are going to help us in that regard. As far as student admissions are concerned, this of course is a very, very important area as well. It is necessary to make the point that the application cycle, applications in 2020 for admission in 2021, that cycle is open at both the undergraduate and the postgraduate level. We do see a slight lag in the number of applications relative to the first week of May in 2019, but we think that this is linked to the school lockdown situation, and this is likely to correct itself after the 1st of June, when schools reopen for the grade 12 learners. It is the case that there's anxiety among applicants and potential applicants about what they can expect in 2021. Is it going to be a regular contact teaching experience or something different? And of course, our experience this year will help to inform how we proceed and respond to this anxiety and it will almost certainly raise the issue of blended learning, a blended learning future. I see there was a question on the question line early on regarding the situation at the University of Stellenbosch, where some public announcements have been made that impact the admissions in 2021, and with specific reference to the national benchmark tests. We are aware of that. We are currently in discussions with our Centre for Educational Testing and Access and for Access and Placement, as well as with our faculties in terms of how UCT is going to deal with the NBT requirement that is a fundamental part of our admissions regime in most of our faculties. In terms of our planning from a timeline point of view, I think it's also necessary to make this point that our original date for the start of the 2021 year was the 15th of February. And we believe that based on the planning that we have done to date and taking the calendar implications into account, and if our assumptions are not rendered false by how the virus problem may continue to manifest, then we can be in a position to start the 2021 academic year on the 1st of March, which is 2 weeks later than originally planned. With respect to some of the questions that have already come in, and I know Sue made reference to this earlier regarding the research dissertation submissions and the possibility of amending the date for those submissions, the answer to that question is yes. Consideration is being given to this, and potentially amending those submission dates by pushing them back by 8 weeks. So this is under consideration. We certainly have an open mind on the issue of extending the study application deadline beyond the 31st of July. And we do, however, think that if grade 12 students are back at school by the 1st of June, then perhaps there may be less of a need to consider the extending the application deadline, except, of course, in the case that students from less well-resourced schools will need more time to get assistance in order to complete the application process and navigate their way through that system. But I think it's also necessary just to record the fact that an early application deadline does not necessarily mean lower applicant numbers. Of course, the circumstances this time around are peculiar, but our experience in the past is certainly is that an early application deadline does not mean lower applicant numbers. There has been a question on how final year students, undergraduate students, will be impacted when they apply for honours, should course deadlines extend beyond 2020. In terms of our planning, the results for semester one in 2020 are due to be posted by the end of July 2020. So our advice to students is that they would need and should apply for honours on the basis of their results, which will be posted by the end of July 2020 for semester one. And we are expecting that final results will be available by the 18th of January 2021. We will, of course, make allowances to accommodate later results released by other South African higher education institutions whose students have applied for honours at UCT, and we will have an open mind in that regard. We are giving attention to the matter of the fee implications where students withdraw from courses by the deadline of the 29th of May, which is an adjusted deadline. A final decision in this regard will have to be a council decision. This is a key governance matter because it impacts on the terms of the fee policy. And the proposition being that if courses are dropped by the 29th of May and the student is not levied the regular fee liability, then there will in effect not be a case of a double charge where a dropped course is picked up by the student at the subsequent stage. So thanks, Vice Chancellor. In broad overview, those are some of the highlight points I wanted to make reference to with regard to our timeline, our calendar, our exams, and our governance considerations and priorities.
We actually haven't responded to the questions about issuing of certificates and so on. Royston, are you ready? Can you talk to that before I close?
Royston? Yes, I can do so. I can do so. There was a question on a very important question as well on the issue of the issuing of degree certificates to those students who were qualifiers in the last cycle who were due to graduate in the March 2020 season of graduation. Colleagues will recall that we had suspended those graduation ceremonies. In the week, the few days just before the lockdown kicked in, we had in fact set up a system to issue those degree certificates, and there was reasonable take up. Students were coming in on a scheduled basis to collect them. Lockdown then kicked in and we had to stop that. The question is, how will students who had already qualified continue to access their degree certificates? That can only start to apply again when we get back onto campus, when courier companies actually will start to courier things like a graduation certificate. But of course, we need to be mindful of the fact that those students who had already qualified will need certification for job applications and potential further study elsewhere at other universities. The important point to stress is that official transcripts are already available to all the affected students online via PeopleSoft. This is more than just an academic record. It is an official document that bears the university stamp, and students can access that remotely. The system is in place for that, and the link into that is via the Student Records Office online, and those details are on the web. Thank you.